the Fort Guy return downstairs in the club room. I see their first show's already sold out, Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra. Oh. They're doing Fiddles Galore, Sunday, January 18th. Might like to see that. And then the very groovy things on Sunday, February the 1st as well. There's a couple of things there. Dizzy and Faye, special event. You can look this up, I guess, under the Fort Garry, and or learn more, get tickets. Support of Laurent and McQuaid. The club at the Fort Garry Hotel. Showtimes are 7 till 9, which we've been. It was good. The value was good, I thought, as well. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows coming up. As I say, the first one, January 11th, sold out. But then, Fiddles Galore, January the 18th. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
You're listening to the second hour. So good morning, or good morning again, of the cleverly named Saturday Morning Radio program here on CKUW-FM 95.9 on your FM dial. A little rhythm and blues for you, Carol?
Sure.
Thinking of Sam Moore. Died on this day in 2025. We can't say Sam without saying Dave. Right. Of soul. As we remember, Sam Moore, who died on this day. Now, I did away with what I had on him. See if we can bring that back up. An American soul R&B duo, performed together from 1961 till 1981. Tenor, Sam Moore, baritone, Dave Prater, known as the Double Dynamite, Sultans of Sweat, the dynamic duo, gritty, gospel-infused performances. One of the greatest live acts of the 1960s. Carol McKibben,
yes.
What about the weather for inquiring minds?
Okay, well, it's minus 9, as it was an hour ago. Cloudy, barometric pressure 102.2 and rising, but I think that's what it was, must be rising very slowly. Humidity 89%, so that's changed. And wind coming from the north-northwest at 36 and gusting to 48. It's a bit of a wind out there. And the wind chill is minus 19. And in the forecast, you know, they've got the 7-day forecast. It shows today's temperature, minus 9, as an abnormal temperature trend. I suspect because it's going down.
Because Bruce Coburn says the trouble with normal is it always gets worse.
Right. Well, the forecast is periods of light snow ending this morning, then cloudy. Well, it already says cloudy, so I suspect periods of light snow might have ended already. Wind coming from the northwest at 30, gusting to 50, and then light this afternoon. The temperature falling to minus 12 this afternoon. Wind chill, minus 20 this morning, and minus 15 this afternoon, when the wind, I guess, changes to light instead of whatever it's doing now.
Children's Corner coming up.
Okay.
I forget what we've got for them, but it'll be delightful.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be Sherlock Holmes. That's right. Because there's going to be a reading of the Speckled Band at Dalnavert Museum. Didn't say who it would be, which I thought was a little odd. Mystery voice, I suppose.
Yes.
But I'm looking at the Winnipeg Free Press, the Community Free Press Review West. 50 years without Eaton's catalogs. Yes. Christian Cassidy for his column, What's in a Neighborhood. Timothy Eaton Company pioneered mail order shopping in Canada. But 50 years ago this month, announced its iconic catalog would disappear forever.
Right.
And, of course, one of those things that you think you can't make this happen when Timothy was expanding across the country. Of course, and then with the mail service improved, bingo, bango, and a bongo.
Right.
Now, when you and I were at Eaton's, and of course, the catalog building is still there.
Yes.
Behind where the old store used to be.
Yep. It's MPI or something.
Now known as City Place.
Right.
Once Eaton's Western Canadian Mail Order Warehouse. The thing is a monster, of course. I was going to say, 700,000 square feet of warehouse space. Winnipeg was one of three mail-order hubs for Eaton's, the others being Toronto and Moncton. Don't ask me why. Current monument to the city's status in the catalog empire are the two nine-story towers built on Graham Avenue in 1916 and 1920, which together contained over 700,000 square feet of warehouse space. Now, when I was a boy, we used to sell a couple of the old reprints of the old catalogs.
Oh, right, yes,
the 1927 catalog.
Yeah, we did too,
And there was one earlier. And the 1927, you could order your own house.
Yes, you could.
You could build it yourself.
Yep.
There were books too, I remember too.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't, alas, you had to grow up in Ottawa, didn't you?
Yes, I grew up in Ottawa. We didn't have Eaton's. There was no Eaton's in Ottawa.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And so therefore, the catalog would be a mystery.
There was no Hudson Bay either. We had Freeman's, Gamble's, Murphy Gamble's, sorry, right. Ogilvy's.
Ogilvy's, I've heard of, yes.
Yes, yeah, they were a
sort of Ottawa. Well, the catalog. The thing about the catalog.
Montreal. Yes.
I think even in 1902, you could order from, even though you lived in Quebec and you spoke French, but there was no French order form. And so you may remember the hockey sweater.
Oh, yes.
Where his mother orders, of course, the number 9. Why? Yes. Because Rocket Richard wore number 9 for the Canadien. And what arrives, Carol?
Toronto Maple Leaf jersey.
You can't make me wear that sweater.
Holy
moly, what a shockeroo.
Yes, imagine.
It's a Rock Carrier story. Other anyways, in Thursday, make it Wednesdays, Free Press in the Community Review.
When I was a kid, Montreal was the metropolitan city in Canada. Toronto was like far away.
Yuck. Yes. And they shut down on the weekends anyways, on Sundays. Now, the first catalog, I think, of sort, booklet for Eaton's was 1884. It was a small pink 32-page booklet. And I've got a lovely picture here of the 1905 of it, which is when Eaton's here in Winnipeg opened. I remember working in the basement, the catalog building.
Yes.
Sorting coat hangers.
Right.
Plastic, wood. Plastic, wood.
Right.
Then I crawled my way up the ladder, Carol.
Wow.
Ended up as a receiver.
Yes.
And Carl Buffy came down.
Yes.
And I said, any jobs? He said, well, I need a stock boy.
Okay. Since you're a receiver, stock boy would be
so he took the chain off my ankle.
Yes. Unlocked it right there.
Chain. And I went upstairs to become the stock boy.
Right.
And then put a tie on, clip-on tie. Started selling books from behind the counter. And then became the buyer. Wow. And then there was a great clear out, and 25 of us marched up the stairs. Away you go. It's goodbye for me, and it's goodbye for me. But we thank you, Carl Buffy. He's probably listening right now.
Yeah.
So
be.
The other thing about Christian Cassidy, of course, is a Manitoba Historical Society Council member and a proud resident of the West End. He has been writing about Winnipeg history for more than a decade on his blog,
yes,
West End Dumplings.
Yes.
So it wouldn't surprise me this article, if you missed it, shows up in his West End Dumplings blog.
Sure.
7:10 then. Yes. Working as we are through Capital, the birth of a label. This morning, There Will Never Be Another You, How True That Is of Eaton's in the Catalog Building. Gordon Jenkins and his orchestra from 1942.
Standing here with someone new, there will be other songs to sing, another fall, another spring, but there will never be another you. There will be other lips that I may kiss, but they won't thrill me like yours used to do. Yes, I may dream a million dreams, but how can they come true if there will never, ever be another you? There will never be another you.
Gordon Jenkins and his orchestra, who was an arranger, composer, from its one CD, and it's done up like a little 45 package, Capital, the birth of a label. So working
yes,
through the
nice
early years
package.
In the 1940s.
It actually, 80s. It looks more like the old 78 package, you know, with the brown wrapper.
Right. Yeah. The sleeve. Yeah,
sleeve, so. Yeah.
But the 45s had that too. So I was saying, Brad Roberts' birthday today. That's what I was going to say. He, born in 1964, is that possible? Good Lord.
Yep.
Because whatever happened to Brad Roberts? Singer, Crash Test Dummies.
Means he's in his 60s now, eh?
Brad, if you're out there, give us a call. let's go back then for that, for the Crash Test Dummies from their CD, God Shuffled His Feet.
What is it that makes me a breeze that makes my breathing not so easy. Well, I've had my lungs checked out with x-rays. I've smelled the hospital always. Someday I'll have a disappearing hairline. In the daytime, times when the day is like a blade by Sartre, when it seems a fuck burning's in perfect order. Like I gave the doctor my description. I've tried to stick to my prescriptions. Someday I'll have a disappearing hairline. Someday I'll wear pajamas in the daytime. Play by a playback. I could change the test results and I will get back. I've watched the summer evening pass by. I've heard the rattle in my bronchi.
Brad Roberts on lead vocals there. Happy birthday, Brad. He probably is in his pajamas, measuring out his life in coffee spoons. He wrote all the songs on this CD, wow. God Shuffle His Feet. Lead vocals, acoustic, electric guitars, piano on Untitled. Ellen Reed, backup vocals, piano, keyboards, accordion. Benjamin Darville, mandolin and harmonica, as we heard there.
Wow.
Dan Roberts, bass guitar, synth and bass. And Michelle Dorge, drums and percussion.
And that picture on the front of God Shuffled His Feet is right out of the National Gallery
in
London.
It is. We've got it. We've seen it, yes.
Yes.
Bradley big. Kenneth Roberts, born on this day as Carol says, January 10th. Singer-songwriter from Winnipeg. Now, so I looked to see what the latest was, and it goes up to about 2011 is the last thing they listen. Solo release of an album of mantras entitled Rajanka Mantra in 2011. So we don't know if he's out there somewhere.
Right.
The larynx that walks like a man. 719.
Yes.
719. Wake them, shake them.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
Thank you.
Well, boys and girls, Sherlock Holmes is still in print, written by Arthur Conan Doyle. Many variations and versions of it on TV, etc., etc.
Right.
But you really want to start with the books. Now, there are 4 novels and 56 short stories. That is the sum total, really, of what Conan Doyle wrote. Now, everybody else is taking a crack at it, of course, but you want to start with the originals. And one of the spookiest, scariest ones.
Yes.
Even though it doesn't stand up on forensic examination.
Right.
I saw a terrible play version of it. Don't go to the play for this.
Yeah.
The Speckled Band.
Right. Scary.
The Speckled Band. A young woman comes to visit Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
And her sister has died terribly. And nobody knows how or why. The last thing he said to her was, "The Speckled Band." No sooner does the young woman disappear when Mr. Big shows up, Mr. Grimsby, of Grimsby Roylott, and shouts in rage, "Why was that young woman here, etc.? And it's my niece or something," and blah, blah, blah. And his veins stand out in his forehead. Never a good idea, even if you're in, especially in a singer. That's always a bad sign. They're just on the edge of a stroke. And he takes the poker. Now, a poker is what you use to stoke up the fire, boys and girls.
Rearrange the logs.
A real fire, the logs.
Yep.
And he takes the poker, and he bends it in his hand, right in front of Sherlock Holmes. And Holmes just stares him down.
Wow.
And when he leaves, muttering and shrieking and raging and foaming at the mouth, always a bad sign,
Holmes takes
the poker and he bends it back straight again.
Wow.
So, Dalnevert is going to have a reading of
Speckled Band.
Then a little teaser there. I'm going to give you a little bit more of what it sounds like. We're deep into the story here. I'll give you just a hint of what you could hear if you go for a reading of The Speckled Band.
I had never seen my friend's face so grim or his brow so dark as it was when we turned from the scene of this investigation. We had walked several times up and down the lawn, neither Miss Stoner nor myself liking to break in upon his thoughts before he roused himself from his reverie. "It is very essential, Miss Stoner," said he, "that you should absolutely follow my advice in every respect."
"I shall most certainly do so."
"The matter is too serious for any hesitation. Your life may depend upon your compliance."
"I assure you that I am in your hands."
"In the first place, both my friend and I must spend the night in your room."
Both Miss Stoner and I gazed at him in astonishment.
"Yes, it must be so. Let me explain. I believe that that is the village inn over there."
"Yes, that is the Crown."
"Very good. Your windows would be visible from there?"
"Certainly."
"You must confine yourself to your room on pretense of a headache when your stepfather comes back. Then, when you hear him retire for the night, you must open the shutters of your window, undo the hasp, put your lamp there as a signal to us. And then withdraw quietly, with everything which you are likely to want, into the room which you used to occupy. I have no doubt that in spite of the repairs you could manage there for one night."
"Oh, yes, easily."
"The rest you will leave in our hands."
"But what will you do?"
"We shall spend the night in your room, and we shall investigate the cause of this noise which has disturbed you."
"I believe, Mr. Holmes, that you have already made up your mind," said Miss Stoner, laying her hand upon my companion's sleeve.
"Perhaps I have."
"Then, for pity's sake, tell me what was the cause of my sister's death."
"I should prefer to have clearer proofs before I speak."
"You can at least tell me whether my own thought is correct, and if she died from some sudden fright."
"No, I do not think so. I think that there was probably some more tangible cause. And now, Miss Stoner, we must leave you, for if Dr. Roylott returned and saw us, our journey would be in vain. Goodbye, and be brave, for if you will do what I have told you, you may rest assured that we shall soon drive away the dangers that threaten you."
Hokey karaoke.
Wow.
Sort of a promise.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like she's the bait in the Speckled Band. So, boys and girls, what you want to do is go to the library.
Yes.
And or Bantam did a nice 2-volume set of complete Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Or for the hardcore among you.
Yes.
There's an annotated Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
so
that's
if you want,
good
if you're
idea.
Worried about what is a gasogene, what is a tantalus.
Right.
without looking up
it'll explain
your Victorian
all
dictionary. It's all there, where the stories came from, etc., etc., etc. But that's a monster.
Right.
So I'd say start with the library. And a good used bookstore like Burton Lysacki Books, where you can use your friend's card, should have Sherlock Holmes. For my recommendation, get the complete. Don't buy the individual volumes of this and that and the other.
And however, you can pick and choose because they're all short.
Well, there are four novels.
Well, there's also four novels.
But the 56
That's
short
true.
Stories, very true.
Yeah.
And some are better than others, boys and girls.
Yes. Anyways.
So the reason that we mention this in that form is because, yes, Delnavert Museum on Carlton Street there is doing an evening of Sherlock Holmes, Friday, January the 16th, it says here, 7 to 8 p.m., Delnavert Museum and Visitor Center. Step into the parlor for an intimate evening. Well, if you're really into the parlor, it doesn't hold very many people.
Yeah, true.
Step into the parlor for an intimate evening with the world's greatest detective. Enjoy a reading of the classic Sherlock Holmes tale, The Adventure of the Speckled Band, in the immersive setting of Delnavert's lavish surroundings. During intermission, enjoy a signature cocktail or mocktail.
Yes, good.
Inspired by the iconic character. I don't know that Sherlock Holmes ever drank cocktails. I'm sorry.
It's only inspired by him. No, it's not, you know.
The reading will take place in the parlor, with drinks served in the visitor center during the intermission. Doors open at 6:30. Reading will begin at 7. Ticket price includes one drink. So the price is really for adults, because it's $50 in general, $45 for museum members.
Right.
But I still thought it was worth mentioning, telling the boys and girls, you want to read Sherlock Holmes. Really, it'll give you a love of mysteries for life.
Because we've already passed the January date of... Now, is it Sherlock Holmes' death, or what happened in January?
Oh, but January 6th is really
January 6th. What happened?
It was his birthday.
Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No,
because
death
the last
because
we heard, there was no... Well, he isn't dead because his obituary never appeared in the Times.
There
so
you go.
So supposedly he's beekeeping in Sussex somewhere.
Right.
Apparently... royal jelly will keep you ticking over.
It's true.
When you're 100 and something. 727,
then. It's very good for you in small quantities.
You know what? That Sherlock Holmes, I should say there are two readings, the two evenings, it seems to me. So you've got to go to the calendar. I don't like to say what the next one is, because what I have in my hand simply shows the one.
Right.
Which is Friday, January 16th.
Okay.
At 727 at the moment.
Right.
So just ahead of our march around the breakfast table. And boys and girls, pay attention. We're turning now to that two-CD set, Behind Bars. 40 tales of prison, jailbreaks, and death on two CDs this morning.
You don't want to go to prison.
No, it's Marty Robbins with Shackles and Chains.
Ay, yay, yay. Kiss so sweet lips I love best.
system I will use for my pillow. While I'm sleeping in shackles and chains.
Marty Robbins. He also sang a white sport coat and a pink crustacean, but that was a
different story. Not exactly.
Now, you'll notice he was using a piece of stone for a pillow. What did you use for a pillow when you were a girl?
We didn't have a pillow until we were, like, teenagers.
You went without?
Well, yeah.
Maybe it's bad for your neck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that was, like, from my mother's upbringing or what it was, but I think the general feeling probably was that once your bones have more fused into place, then you can have a pillow.
Okay.
So I can't remember if it was 12 or 16 or something like that before we got a pillow.
Yeah. I'm looking at the January Cinematheque, and of course Sundays through January is Cabin Fever for the boys and girls.
Oh, good.
So this Sunday, free, Lilo and Stitch. Oh. So you, if you're going to go as an adult, you better have a child with you. 1 o'clock.
Probably.
18th will be James and the Giant Peach. I'm looking at the handout from Dave Barber Cinematheque.
Right.
You can go online and look up their schedule for Cinematheque,
right,
not just Cabin Fever, but the rest of the month as well. But anyways, right through the month, 1 o'clock, walk right in, sit right down, enjoy getting your children out of the house into a dark room. No, you can't leave them there. You've got to stay with them. 7:31. Right. I was going to say... Oh, and one other thing. I've looked at the Winnipeg Public Library.
Yes.
You can, too. There are program listings for what's on when, where. And it's an app, of course, as well. And I see Baby Rhyme Time coming up. Introduce your baby to the sounds of language through rhymes, songs, and simple stories. Get them chanting CKUWFM 95.9.
Right.
Because they say it over and over. Come Fun Drive, they'll want to break their piggy banks to help us to stay on the air. At least I see our station managers managed to fix the CD1 player that had gone on the fritz for a couple of weeks while he was away.
Good.
So that Baby Rhyme Time, Monday, January 12th, 11 till 11:30, the Mona Gray Program Room at the Millennium Library. Also at the library for the rest of us, Info Table, Legal Help Center. You know, asking for a friend. Visit the Legal Help Center information on the second floor to learn about their free legal clinics, workshops, other services. Find out if you qualify and what services may be available. Monday, January 12th, 11 till 2, that's the second floor overlook area in the Millennium Library. That's an open event, so for that one, you can just drop in. For the Baby Rhyme Time, you have to register. That's all right, because there are 15 seats left as I speak. Who'd like to march around the breakfast table?
I would.
All right. I'm looking at the Winnipeg Free Press obituary page from February 15th, 2025. For William Carl Backman, he was an original, threw himself into anything he endeavored to do with passion and commitment, successful career as an English and drama teacher, most notably at Sturgeon Creek Collegiate. Early career, he enjoyed coveted overseas assignments with his wife Enid and young Tony and Leigh. They relocated to Newcastle and Tyne, and later to Baden-Baden.
Oh.
Baden-Baden, Germany, where he taught the children of the Canadian Air Force personnel.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's have a march then. From the Marches of the Vanishing Regiments. Yorkshire Lass, the March of the East Yorkshire Regiment. Alas, now vanished. I looked for them and I found them. Vanished.
Yes? Oh.
As played by the band of the Royal Military School of Music. Bit of vanished vinyl for you there at 7:35. And time for a poem. For a poem from Poem for the Day by Wendy Cope. Well, she did the foreword, and so it was nice to see her that she had written a poem as well that they included. So, is today January the 10th?
Yes.
Well, let's call it January 10th poem then. And the poem is titled Bloody Men. Bloody men are like bloody buses. You wait for about a year, and as soon as one approaches your stop, two or three others appear. You look at them flashing their indicators, offering you a ride. You're trying to read the destinations. You haven't much time to decide. If you make a mistake, there is no turning back. Jump off, and you'll stand there and gaze while the cars and the taxis and lorries go by, and the minutes, the hours, the days.
Bus stop, wet day, she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. That's the way the whole thing started. Silly, but it's true. Thinking of a sweet romance beginning. No more sheltering now. Nice to think that umbrella led me to a vow. Show me what she bought. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. Bus stop, wet day, she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine.
The Hollies, Bus Stop. From Poem for the Day, one, same forward by Wendy Cope, and she wrote a note about that poem, Bloody Men. She says, my parents got married on January the 2nd. When I wrote this in 1987, I must already have been a bit short-sighted. Nowadays, if I'm wearing glasses, I have no difficulty in reading the destination on buses. At 7:39.
Yes.
Johnny Ray, anniversary today, born this day in 1927. That's John Alvin Ray, American singer, songwriter, pianist. Big Noise, 1950s. Major precursor to what became rock and roll, jazz and blues-influenced music. Tony Bennett called Ray the father of rock and roll. Well, pioneering figure, shall we say, anyways. Partially deaf.
Oh.
Began singing professionally at age 15 on Portland radio stations. Anyways, a couple of real big hits. This one in particular.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret you feel better if you cry. When waking from a bad dream, don't you sometimes think it's real? But it's only false emotions that you feel. If your heartaches seem to hang around too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky. So let your head down and go on and cry. Can be found behind a cloudy sky. So let your head down and go right on, baby, and cry.
Johnny Ray. Cry, and the little white cloud that cried, I think, or was it, that was the other side, yeah. Little white cloud that cried, I think, was the other side. So he did phenomenally well with both those, selling over 2 million copies at 780 RPM. Performing style, theatrics later associated with rock and roll. In fact, Elvis liked to watch him tearing at his hair, falling to the floor, crying on stage. Earned the nickname Mr. Emotion, the Nabob of Sob. The Prince of Wales. Yes. Several others as well. Johnny Ray, look out behind you. Oh, quick, somebody dear. Give me a crying towel. All right. Time, 7:43.
Yes?
I'm Bill Redekop, author of Lake Agassiz, The Rise and Demise of the World's Greatest Lake, and you're listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
In Winnipeg. Now I'm looking at, died on this day in 1976, Howlin' Wolf.
Oh, right.
Although his real name, of course, was Chester Arthur Burnett, American blues musician. Let's hear him growl a little before we go come to you.
Okay.
After the long way from home, can't sleep at night, grab your telephone, something just ain't right. That's evil. Evil is going on. Get in your stall.
That's evil. Evil is going on wrong. I am warning you, brother. You better watch your happy home.
You better catch it. smoking after you half the whole boat.
That's evil. Evil is going on wrong. I am warning you, brother. You better watch your happy home.
You'll catch him dead before he goes.
That's evil. Evil is going on. I am warning you, brother. You better watch your happy home.
Helen Wolfsig and Willie Dixon there from a box set of four. Chess Blues, weird. From CD number 2, 1952 to 1954. 746. Carol
McKibben. Yes?
What do you got for the folks?
Well, another birthday today, Ron. Sir Roderick David Stewart.
Who?
Born on the 10th of January, 1945, making him 81 years old today. Is a British singer and songwriter, we all know, known for his raspy singing voice.
And the hair.
Yes, he's had various hairdos over the year. Stewart is among the best-selling musicians of all time.
Get out.
Yeah, over like 120 million.
Don't tell
yeah.
me that.
His music career began when he went busking with a harmonica. In 1963, he joined The Dimensions. In 64... joined Long John Baldry and the All-Stars.
Here.
Moved to the Jeff Beck Group in 67. And then joined Faces in 1969 when he also launched his solo career.
Moving on up.
Yep. Well, you can see like a progression very quickly from here to there. His was a fusion of rock, folk, soul, and R&B. And his album...
Shortbread too, I would think.
Every Picture Tells a Story was his breakthrough, topping the charts in the UK, Canada, Australia, and the US. Rod was the youngest of five children. His father had been a master builder. His mother grew up in North London. They had two sons and two daughters in Scotland and then moved to Highgate. His parents are actually buried in Highgate Cemetery. Stewart was born at home during World War II, 8 years after his nearest sibling. The family was neither affluent nor poor, but Rod was spoiled as the youngest and called his childhood fantastically happy. His father had played football as a local amateur, amateur team, and Rod, combining natural athleticism with near reckless aggression, was captain of his school football team. He was the most talented footballer in the family. When I say football, we call that soccer over here in North America.
Right.
The family were great fans of the singer Al Jolson. Rod collected his records, saw his films, read books about him, and was influenced by his performing style. His introduction to rock and roll was listening to Little Richard and Bill Haley and his Comets. His father bought him a guitar, and the first song he learned was the folk tune, "It Takes a Worried Man to Sing a Worried Song." Yep. Rod left school at 15, and spurred on by his father, his ambition was to become a professional footballer. So at that time, 15, he went for trials at a third division club, but was never signed to the club, and they never called him back.
Boo.
Stewart concluded in the end, "They're the only two things I can do, actually, play football and sing." When living in California, he played for the L.A. Exiles team, made up of mostly English expats and a few celebrities. He supports the Scotland national team and Celtic Football Club, which he mentions in the song "You're in My Heart." Stewart, you may not know any of this stuff. Stewart is a model railway enthusiast. his 23 feet by 124 feet HO scale layout in his LA home.
Big
like
hotel.
Imagine 23 by 124 feet HO railway track.
He's serious about it.
Yes. Modeled
how many,
after.
How many times has he been married? Oh, never mind.
No, we're not going into that. We're doing more hobbies and things.
Well, I can see why with that kind of hobby.
His the layout in his LA home is modeled after the New York Central and the Pennsylvania Railroads during the 1940s. The layout was featured in several issues of Model Railroader magazine. He said it meant more to him to be a Model Railroad magazine, to be in a Model Railroad magazine, than in a music magazine. The layout has a mainline run of 900 feet.
Pardon me, boy.
Yep.
Pardon
Stewart
me, Rod.
Has a second smaller layout at his UK home.
Good Lord.
Based on the East Coast mainline.
And he travels everywhere by train.
Well, no. I suspect he doesn't anymore. In a sidebar to a Model Railroader article, Stewart confirmed in an anecdote about having mixed red scenery into a turf mix. The turf mix he used around the bases of the buildings in the railway sets. He's colorblind, it turns out. He didn't realize he had mixed all this red in, not realizing that it was red. Yep. He also collects cars. He owns one of, there's only 400 Ferrari Enzo. He's got one of them. Yep. He was carjacked in L.A. while he was parking his $50,000 Porsche.
Uh-oh.
It was recovered. It's okay. In 2022, Stewart and others personally filled in some potholes in the country lane near his Essex home.
Well, you have to.
Claiming an ambulance had burst a tire and his
man.
Ferrari couldn't get through.
Blimey.
Well, how far is a Ferrari off the ground, do you think?
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not very Ferrari. Oh,
one of his neighbors praised the action and said the lane had a massive crack and could be dangerous when it was dark and wet.
Exactly.
The county council cautioned that potholes should be reported and repaired by professionals.
Yeah, sounds like a city, wouldn't it?
Adding residents, exactly. If residents make their own repairs, it could become liable for problems or accidents. It's not our fault. Blame Rod Stewart.
Right.
Yep. Also, he's been active in raising funds for a charity to find cures for all forms of cancer, especially those in children, after he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2017 and was given the all-clear after treatment. 3 years ago, he paid for a day's worth of MRI scans for patients at a hospital to help reduce waiting lines.
Times.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, those are all the things of note other than music about Rod Stewart. Maybe you've got some music, Ron.
We could play a little something.
Okay.
Hot dance. You knew it didn't cost the earth, but for what it's worth, you made me feel a millionaire, and you wear it well.
Thank you, Roddy. Rod Stewart from his The Best of Rod Stewart. Carol McKibben, I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
And we'll be back next Saturday morning, 6 to 8, here on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial in Winnipeg. Now, I had a lovely email. Lovely email, which I'm not going to read out at length, from Pete, who says, came across your Saturday morning show on CKUW. I searched your name because, well, bit of a long story. In 2016, when I was 51, I started music writing, production hobby, become an important part of my life. I decided to do something special for my many, many fans across the globe. Started thinking about how I got started. Looking at 61, I often forget I had this hobby in the 80s and 90s. Just took a 30-year hiatus. I was a massive fan of Nightlines.
Oh, cool.
And Brave New Waves, staying up late to listen. Submitted tracks to both you and BMW. You both played them. Unique sound collages. Very exciting. As I heard your voice, I recalled that one night, a friend and I came to the CBC studio when you were broadcasting Nightlines with a box of donuts. I think we wanted a security guard to deliver them, but in fact, you popped out to say hi. The only thing I clearly recall, you were wearing a very colorful scarf.
Oh.
Although my musical tastes have changed and expanded over the decades, I feel those CBC shows really helped to instill my love of music. There you go. Thank you, Pete.
Do you remember that? Donuts,
I don't. I would.
Yes,
anyways,
I
promised him
that
we would go out on, of course, on the theme we used to play on Nightlife, which was She Blinded Me with Science.
Excellent.
Now, Thomas Dolby, stay tuned for I Think This Is Hell, up next on CKWFM.
Okay.
CBC Stereo.